Okay, if everyone will stand, I will read the scripture. This is for a little known history, part one. It's Deuteronomy 24:7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. You may be seated. It is amazing how many things we were not told in our high school American history classes. We were being a little bit indoctrinated rather than educated. It has gradually, throughout the years, been more of indoctrination rather than an education. I think it was accomplished partly in high school, but at the university, it was a lot worse. I even had a communist professor at one of the universities that I attended. Irish slavery in America and the West Indies spanned for over 180 years. It occurred both before and during black slavery in the British colonies. In the 1600s, Irish slavery was paramount as England captured over 1 million Irish inhabitants and carted them off as slaves or indentured servants to help populate the new territories of Great Britain. 1600s, the world changed, let me tell you. And in addition, President Thomas Jefferson sent two of his newly created armed forces, that's the Navy and the Marines, to help end white slavery. But there is something very strange about this event. There is nothing of this episode in the American high school history books. This sermon is about a few of the things that I missed being taught in both high school and college. Maybe you did, or maybe you didn't learn this. But I hope that you find this sermon beneficial. Now, Randa, keep it right here because it'll flip to the answers. We'll begin by asking these questions. Who or what was born on these dates? The first date, November 10th, 1483. The second, November 10th, 1775. The third event, November 10th, 1942. The fourth event, November 10th, 2024. And the fifth event, November 10th, 2067. Well, we'll start with the third event. Who was born on November 10th, 1942? I was. It's my birthday. And then the 24th, I will be 82 years old. So in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'll be 82. And then 2067, I'll be 125. Now, who was born November 10th, 1483?
Martin Luther
is correct. November 10th, 1775 is a what? What was born? That's a very hard one, unless your birthday is November the 10th. You probably wouldn't know it. So turn the page, Randa. The first was Martin Luther, birthday of this Roman Catholic priest, who started the Protestant Reformation, which set the world afire with a world-changing revolution. The second, United States Marine Corps. If you're in the Marines, you knew that date. The birthday of the founding Marines that occurred 292 years after Martin Luther's birth. Then my birthday occurred 459 after the birthday of Martin Luther and 167 years after the founding of the Marine Corps. Now, November 10th of this year, it'll be 249 years after the founding of the Marines. And my 125th birthday be 292 years between Martin Luther's birthday and the founding of the Marines, and 292 years between the founding of the Marines and my 125th. 25th birthday. I don't think that I'll make this one. So what has happened in the world in these 541 years since Martin Luther's birthday till now? And I tell you, it is something else. October 31st, that's Halloween, isn't it? 1517. Luther nailed his 95 grievances on the Wittenberg Castle Church door that began the Protestant Reformation. And then, October 31st, the year 2033, the founding of the Marines is the midpoint, 1775, between Luther's 95 thesis, 1517, and this date, 2033. It will happen in just 9 more years. The midpoint would be 258 years. So from Martin Luther to the founding of the Marines, from the founding of the Marines to the present date in 2033. Maybe I'll make this one. The Reformation was caused due to the grievances that the people had towards the unjust practices of the Catholic Church. Maybe your friend should have been here this Sunday. One was indulgences. The sale of indulgences was for certificates that forgave sins in exchange for money. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10a. Second, church power. The church's excessive wealth and power, and the Pope's extravagant authority over the church and the European nations. Third, church corruption. There were problems with the church, just like it is in our government, including priests who were not well educated and some higher leaders like cardinals and bishops who were corrupt. The fourth was Bible authority. The authority of the Bible was challenged over the human institution in matters of faith. And the fifth, church practices. Objections were made about the practice of liberal celibacy and other situations. Because of the invention of Gutenberg's printing press, which is the mid-1400s, the means were provided for the speedier dissemination of religious materials than what was available in the past. The additional movement in Germany diversified, and other reformers such as Huldrych Zwingli, William Tyndale, John Knox, John Huss, John Wycliffe, and many others, with somewhat different theologies, and rose and a Reformation thought spread throughout Europe. In general, the Reformers argued that salvation in Christianity was a completed status based on faith in Jesus alone, and not a process that could involve good works as in the Catholic view. Protestantism also introduced new ecology and eschatology, including the idea that the Pope was the Antichrist. That was in the Bible that the Pilgrims had. This view of the main leader of the Catholic Church caused an uproar among its leaders. This was one of the new Protestant beliefs that led to the formation of the Counter-Reformation. This was the effort by the Catholic Church to either stop or greatly lessen the influence of the Protestant Reformation. The organization that led the Counter-Reformation was the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits. This organization was approved by the Pope in September 1540. That's 23 years after the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And was started by Ignatius Loyola, Peter Faber, Francis Xavier, and 4 other Roman Catholics. Now we'll divert for a little bit and talk about the Athenaeum. You don't know what the Athenaeum was. The Athenaeum was a small Catholic college in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, took control of the Athenaeum in the year 1840. And the name was changed to St. Xavier College in honor of the 16th century Spanish Jesuit missionary, St. Francis Xavier, who, like the founder of the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola, was a Spanish Narvesi, a Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, and Jewish Sephardic, habitual name from Navarre, a large Pasquot-speaking religion now divided between Spain and France, but in the Middle Ages an independent Basque kingdom. Its capital city was Victoria. Gasteiz was about 100 miles from the city of Pamplona, which is the running of the bulls, occurs every July 4th, 7th to the 14th during the San Fermín Festival. Why is that a lot there? Let's look at this. There's France, here's Spain, there's the boundary line. There's the capital of this Basquiat County. There's the capital. And there's Pamplona. That's where the running of the bulls occurs. And this is the area. This is where they're from. And they went over to Paris to university. While studying at the University of Paris, Ignatius Loyola became a very important influence on his roommate. Who do you think his roommate was? Francis Xavier. In August of 1534, Xavier joined Ignatius and five other companions in planning the Society of the Jesuits, whose main purpose was the elimination of the Protestant Reformation's influence. In 1537, the seven traveled to Italy to seek papal approval for their new organization. Pope Paul III gave them a commendation and permitted them to be ordained priests. These initial steps led to its official founding in 1540. So the Jesuits are officially founded in the year 1540. Xavier's missionary travels took him to many places around the world. They traveled, buddy. He traveled from Rome to Lisbon, Portugal, and then to India. He didn't stop there. Along the way, he assisted in many previously established missions, including those in Mozambique and Malindi, which is Kenya, Africa, Socotora, an island off the coast of Somalia, and Goa, a district on the west coast of India, and Malaysia and Indonesia. He still didn't stop. In 1549, Xavier became the first Christian, quote-unquote, mission in Japan, where he served in the country for over 2 years. And then where'd he go? In 1552, he set sail to begin the first Catholic mission in China. But what happened? When he arrived, however, he was not allowed to disembark on the mainland. For 3 months, he waited on an island off Canton while trying to enter the country. I added, China did not have an open border. He died on the island of acute illness at the age of 46. Francis Xavier was canonized by Gregory XV on March 12, 1662, at the same time as Ignatius Loyola. Saint Xavier ranks among the greatest missionaries in Roman Catholic history. Historians place the number of baptisms that he performed as roughly 30,000 up to 100,000 people, and he was only 46 years old. So Xavier University, the Musketeers, and St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, are named after this Jesuit who was one of the founders who attempted to stop the influence of the Protestant Reformation. I don't know if they even know that. Back to our main topic. After the Jesuits were formed, they were commissioned by the Pope, because the Protestants accused him of being the Antichrist, to develop a new interpretation of Scripture that would counteract the Protestants' application of the Bible's Antichrist prophecies to the Roman Catholic Church. Francisco Ribera, 1537 to 1591, a brilliant Jesuit priest, agreed to do the job. Ribera interpreted that the Antichrist, instead of being the Pope, would be an evil person received by the Jews in the future who would rebuild Jerusalem. He said that the Christians would be raptured out of the earth at this time. This disagreed with what the Protestant reformers had taught about the Antichrist. The result of Barra's work was a twisting and maligning of prophetic truth. For almost 300 years, this doctrine of a future Antichrist remained largely inside the realm of Catholicism. But in the early 1800s, it got a hold of some Protestants in England, and it soon spread to America and to its Protestant churches. It is now called dispensationalism or futurism. At the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, the Catholics and newly formed Protestant churches fought for oversight over many nations that were controlled by the Pope for several centuries. The Jews, the Freemasons, the Vatican, the Muslims, some of the Protestants, were all fighting for jurisdiction in some of the world's nations and world empires. There were civil wars, wars between nations, assassinations, betrayals, coups, fights between religions, defeated opposing religious members, captured as slaves and sent to the Caribbean islands and North America. Millions of Africans were captured by black enemies and sold as slaves to Arabs and Jews. Muslim pirates capturing crews off ships and coastal villages and cities, making them slaves, and so on and so on. And now I have a question. For 10 years, the United States paid over $600,000 as an initial payment, plus an annual payment, which was 20% of its entire financial budget, keep it right here, Randa, budget, to the blank blank. Does anybody know who they paid this money to? No, it wasn't the Catholic Church. Nation of Israel. No. You think that's important? They paid $624,000, 20% of their entire budget each year for 10 years, and nobody knows. It's not even in the history books. I didn't know it. Well, we'll find out later. To whom did the United States pay this much money? What we're going to talk about now, the United States Marine Corps. It was founded on?
November 10th.
The year?
1775.
Right before 1776. Makes sense. We sang the United States Marine Corps hymn in elementary school. I started kindergarten in 1947. We sang this anthem because, I guess, World War II ended only 2 years previously. I'm a war baby. But I always wondered about the second line in the hymn. What's the second line?
To the shores of Tripoli.
I said, where was Tripoli? And why were the Marines fighting there? But I finally found my answers recently. The United States Marines fought to free and prevent any more white slaves. White slaves? I don't think most people in America know there are white slaves. From being taken off American ships and from the coastal areas of southern and western Europe. The Marines were sent to Tripoli by the third president of the Constitutional United States, Thomas Jefferson, in the first foreign war in the country's young history. It was the war against the Barbary pirates. Who in the world are the Barbary pirates? The Barbary pirates from North Africa's Barbary coast would capture American ships and keep them. They would keep their merchandise And they would hold their sailors as slaves. The pirates also would demand ransom and tribute payments that the United States could not afford to pay. They had a big business going. They did this to all ships, not just American ships. From all the nations that sailed the Mediterranean Sea and others on waters like the Atlantic close by the North African shore. The Barbary pirates were a band of privateers who served as part of the naval forces of the Ottoman Empire. Oh, I heard of them, the Ottoman Empire. A huge multi-ethnic empire that spanned throughout southern Europe, northern Africa, and the Middle East. The Barbary pirates operated in teams from ports in North Africa, such as Algiers, Tunis, and Tripoli. Oh, Tripoli. Their reign of terror in the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean lasted about 250 years? 250 years from the late 1500s to the early 1800s. By the 1700s, the Barbary pirates had become so fearsome that many nations, including the United States, for some time agreed to pay them an annual ransom to ensure their trading vessels sailed safely in the Mediterranean. The Barbary pirates frequently raided seafaring vessels and coastal towns. They offered captured white people, because white people were living there, in Italy, Spain, France, and Portugal, and sold them as slaves in Morocco and or Algeria. There were other less frequent raids in England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Iceland, where they captured additional white slaves. How long this last? Just 250 years. Some of the slaves were forced to man the oars of the private galleys and suffered horrible abuses such as lashing and deprivation of food. Such raids terrorized coastal populations and caused many villages to be abandoned completely out of fear. Now let's go over this. The green is what? The Ottoman Empire. And they were based in Algiers, Tunis, and it's Tripoli. Oh, there's the Mediterranean Sea. And from Italy, Sicily, Spain, Portugal. Well, this thing's not working very good. Netherlands, England. They took people from all over the area. And you know, one big economic negative of the War of Independence for the colonies, we fought Britain, right? What do you think happened when we fought it? Was that since 1775, the British fleets had stopped protecting American ships after their defeat in the American Revolution. This resulted in the birth of the United States Navy on October 13, 1775, by the Continental Congress to fight against the problems caused by the Barbary pirates. And after they created the Navy, they created the Marines. And under the presidency of George Washington, merchant shipping came under threat while in the Mediterranean Sea by the Barbary pirates from four North African states. Right across here. Spain, Portugal, France, all along these coasts. 250 years. This leads us to the answer to the previous question. For 10 years, the United States paid the Barbary pirates an initial payment of $642,500. Plus, each year, they paid them about 20% of its financial budget. Finally, under America's third constitutional president, Thomas Jefferson, refused to pay the annual payment, which had then risen to $225,000 by the end of 1800. Now, there is a little bit of information which is not mentioned in most articles about the war, but the ships captured by the Barbary Pirates were financed by the National Bank of the United States, which was a usury bank, which would have caused an economic collapse in the nation if the pirating could not be stopped. So war was declared against the Barbary Pirates. Another war was promoted by the usury banks owned by Rockefeller or Rothschild, the Jews. Well, we'll talk about the United States versus the Barbary Pirates. The problem of slavery received a new meaning when white American sailors were enslaved by the Barbary Pirates of North Africa. The Barbary Pirates were Muslim. They captured people from our boat. They took them. They took the merchandise. They took the boat. The hostages were kept in leg irons, chained to pillars, and locked in a rat-infested prison. Some American captives died of the bubonic plague. Others went insane. Major powers like Britain and France tolerated the Barbary Pirates because they raised the shipping cost of potential competitors such as Denmark, Holland, Portugal, and the United States. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10a. In a bid to free these white American slaves, the Continental Congress decided to send a man to negotiate with the leader of Algiers for release of American prisoners and for safe passage of American ships in the Mediterranean. The leader of Algiers demanded $3,000 per hostage, twice as much as he asked of other nations. The representative of the United States returned home in 1789. That's the year Washington became president, without securing a treaty. The two wars fought by the United States against the Barbary Pirates was known as the First Barbary War, primary against Tripoli, 1801 to 1805, and the Second Barbary War, primary against Algiers, 1815. What happened in 1812? We had war with England. It all fits. After Thomas Jefferson became president of the United States in March 2001, he sent a United States Navy fleet along with the Marines to the Mediterranean to combat the Barbary Pirates. The fleet bombarded numerous fortified cities in present-day Libya, Tunisia, and Algeria, ultimately exacting concessions of safe conduct from the Barbary Pirates and ending the First War. That's when the Marines went to Tripoli. Later, during the War of 1812, with the encouragement of the United Kingdom, the Barbary Pirates resumed their attacks on American vessels. We're fighting them. Following the concession of the War of 1812 and America's peace with Britain, James Madison, Jefferson's successor, directed military forces against the Barbary States and the Second Barbary War, lasting only 3 days. Three-day war. The second conflict ended the need for further tribute from the United States, granted the United States full shipping rights in the Mediterranean Sea, and significantly reduced incidents of piracy in the region. Short history of the Barbary Pirates. In the late 1500s and early 1600s, there were around 35,000 European white slaves held throughout this time on the Barbary coast. The greatest number were sailors taken from their ships, but a good many were fishermen and coastal villagers. Out of all of these, the British captives were mostly sailors, and there were unfortunate inhabitants of these countries by pirates who raided the coast of Venetia, which is eastern Spain. You see the orange spot there, eastern Spain. Andalusia, which is southern Spain. Calabria, which is the toe of Italy. And Sicily, which is what the toe is kicking. So often that eventually said there was no one left to be captured anymore. White slaves in Barbary were generally from impoverished families. There are no records of how many men, women, and children were enslaved. But it's possible to calculate roughly the number of fresh captives that would have been needed to keep population steady and replace those slaves who died, escaped, or ransomed, or converted to Islam. On this basis, it is thought around 8,500 new slaves were needed annually to replenish numbers. About 850,000 captives over for a century from 1580 to 1680. By extension, for 300 years between 1500 and 1800, the figure would easily have been 2,550,000 people. No one knows for sure. Just calculating. This is only just over a fifth of all the Africans taken as slaves in the same time period. A fifth. But a considerable figure, nevertheless. White slaves in Barbary had almost as little hope of buying back their freedom as the Africans taken to Brazil, the Caribbean islands, and North America. Most would end their days as slaves in North America, dying of starvation, disease, or maltreatment. Look at this map. This is not a Christian identity map. But look at this. Africa. See the big arrow pointing to South America? That's Brazil, the big arrow. You got a bunch of them going to the Caribbean islands. You got a little arrow going to America. Look at that big arrow to Brazil. I'll tell you what that big arrow means. You can leave it right there. As a side note, between 1525 and 1866, 12.7 million Africans were shipped to the colonies of America, the Caribbean islands, and Brazil. Where do you think that the African slaves were transported to? Here's where they went. The number one nation, you can tell from the arrow. It went to Brazil. They got 5.86 million. That's almost half of all the Africans. Jesuits were there. Jews were there having big plantations, and they didn't last long. Britain, for the Caribbean islands. They discovered all these islands there. They were planting sugar, tobacco, crop, they had plantations. They got 3.3 million. France, they had Caribbean islands too, 1.4 million. You can go down that, Randy. Yeah, good. Netherlands, Caribbean islands, 550,000. The colonies of America, 388,000. 388,000. Denmark, Caribbean islands, 111,000. In almost 3 1/2 centuries, only 388 black slaves from Africa reached the colonies of America, with another 65,000 who came over to America from the Caribbean islands after a short stay there. So America took a total of only 453,000 black slaves from Africa. 3.5% of all the African slaves. Is that a shocker? It was to me. And from 1525 to 1650, more white slaves were taken to the Barbary coast than twice the black slaves taken to America. The American Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center are two of the largest Jewish groups that are against Christianity. They kept secret the fact that it was mainly the Jews who were the leading traders in slaves in America and other parts of the world. They kept that a secret. The Jews were the owners of the ships that transported the slaves from Africa to South Africa, the Caribbean islands, and to North America. It was the Jews who owned the auction houses where the slaves were traded. Many of the Jews also owned many of the plantations where the slaves were used to plant wheat and harvest a host of plants. And the white slaves in Barbary were mostly used to row the private galleys in the pursuit of loot and more slaves. Work so strenuous that thousands died or went mad while chained to the oar. Can you imagine being chained to the oar, never leaving the boat, rowing the boat? That's all you did. I think that might drive you insane. During the winter, these white slaves worked on state projects, quarrying stones, building walls or harbor facilities, felling timber, and constructing new galleys. The slaves received, once a year, got new clothes. Those who collapsed on the job from exhaustion or malnutrition were temporarily beaten until they either got up or fatally expired on the ground. They were not treated very good, I would say. The Muslim leader also bought most female captives, some of whom were taken into his harem, where they lived out their days in captivity. Many other slaves belonged to private parties. As they aged or their owner's fortune changed, slaves were resold, often repeatedly. The unluckiest ended up stuck or forgotten out in the desert in some sleepy town as Suez or in the Turkish Sultan galleys, where some slaves rode for decades without ever setting foot on shore. Eventually, priests began to negotiate ransom for the release of the slaves. Europeans sometimes attempted to buy their people out of slavery, but no real system emerged before 1640. What happened in 1660? All the Jews are brought in from Amsterdam, going to England. There's all kind of turmoil. Then the attempts became more systematic and were sometimes state-subsidized, as in Spain and France. Almost all the actual work, however, began from collecting the funds to voyaging to Barbary to negotiating with the slave owners. That was carried out by the clergy. Parish churches, too, all over Spain and Italy, kept locked collection boxes marked for poor slaves, with clerics constantly reminded their wealthier prisoners to include ransoming societies in their wills. Ransoming slaves is promoted as being one of the best of the charitable works a Catholic could perform, since slaves were ideal victims. Their only fault, their crime, is recognizing Jesus Christ as the most divine Savior and of possessing Him as the true faith. By the 1700s, the ransom orders had significantly reduced slave populations in Barbary, eventually even inflating slave prices as more cash chased fewer captives. Compared to Catholic Europe, Protestant states could be lax and disorganized in freeing their subjects. Thousands of Dutch, Germans, and British languished for years in the chains of Barbary without the aid of organized clergy or state funds for their release. Here's the hymn. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, and it goes on and on. The opening stanza of the hymn tells of when, in 1845, the United States lost the Mexican-American War to seize Mexican lands. In September 1847, the United States Marines and Army troops fought Mexican forces defending Mexico City. The Americans captured Capulucan Castle, a historic site known as the Halls of Montezuma. The victory effectively ended the war. The second line tells of the war with the Barbary Pirates. I didn't learn about this conflict in school, elementary, middle, high, or college, of the war, the first war in United States history that was fought by the United States against the Barbary Pirates. I didn't learn either about the small number of American slaves that the United States accepted. Why is this? Do you think it has anything to do with racism that is promoted in the nation's schools? My conclusion. For 250 years, That's longer than our nation's been a country. It's a long time. The Barbary Pirates, that's the Ottoman Empire, that's Muslims, captured over 1 million white people who were either, one, sailors and crew members who were from many ships from many nations, or two, people who lived on coastal towns and nations along the northern coast of the Mediterranean Sea and coast of the Atlantic Ocean. In the middle of this time, the British had several civil and religious wars, and they eventually ganged up on the Irish. They deported over 1 million Irish to their newly possessed territories in the New World that needed population to farm the plantations. In the 10-year period, 1651 to 1660, there were more Irish slaves in the American colonies than non-slave colonists. And in the Caribbean islands, most slaves in the 1600s were Irish slaves, not black slaves. From the century from 1600 to 1700, more Irish captives were sold as slaves than black Africans. A quick review of some of the worst times in Irish history. If you're Irish, I think this might be kind of interesting to you. In 1612, tens of thousands of Irish were sold to Brazilian plantations, many owned by Jesuits. Between 1629 and 1632, many Irish slaves were sent to Guyana, Antigua, and Montserrat. By 1637, Montserrat contained 67% of Irish slaves in its population. In 1649, the year the English king was executed, Oliver Cromwell began a campaign of terror in Ireland. That's why every Irish hates Oliver Cromwell. All captured soldiers were sold into slavery. In 1650, 25,000 Irish were sold to planters in St. Kitts, Nevis, and other Leeland Islands in the Caribbean. During the 1650s, over 100,000 Irish children, generally from 10 to 14 years old, were taken from their parents and sold as slaves in the West Indies, Virginia, and New England. In 1652, Cromwell instigated the ethnic cleansing of Ireland. He ordered that the Irish were to be transported overseas, starting with 12,000 Irish prisoners sold to the Caribbean island of Barbados. In 1655, 82,000 Irish were sold to Barbados, Jamaica, Antigua, Nevis, Montserrat, and Virginia. In 1656, Cromwell's Council of State ordered that 1,000 Irish girls and 1,000 Irish boys be rounded up and taken to Jamaica to be sold as slaves to English planters. The reason Irish slaves were reduced in the 1700s, why were they reduced? Was the fact that malaria was brought to the nation from Africa. The African mosquito, which spread the disease, survived in the warm waters of the southern states. Blacks were protected from malaria because they had sickle cell, which the whites lacked. Otherwise, free whites, slave whites, and white indentured servants would have supplied all the labor needed. The black slaves taken in Africa and shipped all over the world was a result of black tribes capturing other blacks and selling them to Arabs and Jews who were the merchantmen. No white men could live in Africa because of malaria for more than 1 year. I'm going to repeat that. No white man could live in Africa because of malaria for more than a year. In fact, there were as many crew members who died on the ships as the slaves they were transporting across the ocean because of malaria. The myth that whites came to Africa and captured slaves is untrue and is propagated in schools for political reasons. Selling black slaves to other people is the fault of blacks who captured other blacks. I will quote Herbert L. Boyd, Jr., who wrote in his book, Proclamation 1625, America's Enslavement of the Irish. Quote, when one thinks of slavery in America, the only thought that comes to mind is Africans picking cotton in the fields of America. What most Americans don't know, what don't we know, is that the Irish preceded the Africans as slaves in the early British colonies of America and the West Indies. They toiled in the tobacco fields of Virginia and Maryland and the sugarcane fields of Barbados and Jamaica. For over 179 years, the Irish were the primary source of slave labor in the British American colonies. Proclamation 1625 is the unveiling of the true and untold history of slavery in America. King James I, he's the one who gives the King James Bible. Proclamation ordering the British to be placed in bondage opened the door to wholesale slavery of Irish men, women, and children. This was not indentured servitude, but raw, brutal mistreatment that included being beaten to death. The Irish were forced from their land, kidnapped, fastened with heavy iron collars around their necks, chained to 50 other people, and held in cargo ships aboard, held in cargo holds aboard ships as they were transported to the American colonies. The Irish and American slaves were housed together and were forced to mate. This is against God's law. To provide the plantation owners with the additional slaves they needed. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10a. The British abolished slavery in 1833. This act emancipated the Irish slaves in the British West Indies. America abolished slavery in 1865. Here's a few things that I never learned at school. Jesuits were the society of the Catholic Church whose purpose was to destroy the influence of the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation has been nullified because most of the church world is now Catholic or universal. America's first war was with the Barbary Pirates during the term of Thomas Jefferson. Arabs have been the most involved of all the people of the earth, being in the slave trading business for many, many centuries. Brazil received about 14 black slaves for every one that found their home in the North American colonies. The Caribbean islands provided more economic benefits than the American colonies from 1770 to 1780. That's right when we started. They were more wealthy than we were. There were more Irish slaves in America for the years 1651 to 1650 than the colonists. The islands of Barbados, Montserrat, Antigua, Nevis, St. Kitts, St. Croix, Jamaica, etc., and several of the colonies in America were where there were more Irish slaves than black slaves for many years. Whites didn't go to Africa and capture the black slaves. Blacks captured other blacks and sold them to Arabs and Jews who sold them to the whites. My mother's father, Eugene Michael Richardson, was an Irish Catholic who was born and lived in Kenton County, Kentucky, 10 miles from here. My mother's mom, Frances Spanton, was born in Covington, Kentucky. She was a Southern Baptist. In those days, anyone marrying a Catholic had to sign papers that their children would be baptized as infants and raised as Catholics. My grandmother would not marry my grandfather because of this Catholic ritual. She threw hot water on the priest who came to her house to talk to her about this situation. My grandfather decided he wanted to marry my grandmother anyway. So he married my grandmother, and his Catholic family disowned him, just like the Amish do. His family was well off financially, and this put him and his new family in a financial pinch. There is a road, which has their name on it, that goes to the area where they used to live. It's called Richardson Road, which is where Debbie goes to turn into her street. If they give reparations to black people, who are the descendants of individuals who have been slaves over 200 years ago, I will do more investigating. Were my Irish grandfather's ancestors slaves? May God continue to bless what Martin Luther wrote at the end of his life. Deuteronomy 24:7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die. And thou shalt put away evil from among you. In 1691, after the defeat of the deposed Catholic King James II of England, the Jacobites became a fresh supply of captives ready to be sold as slaves for over 150 years. Irish men, women, and children, a policy of ethnic cleansing would exist until 1839, when a bill was passed in England forbidding Irish slave trade. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.